Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. This is the reading of God's word. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your words, that we may hear your loving voice through your word, telling us the wonderful stories of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that through your word that we may see what your Son has done and accomplished for us, that we may rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Cause our faith to grow as we hear your word, and let us grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us and receive all the glory. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. The blessings that God pours out to his people, to you. Even though you lived a sinful life, judgment is not what God renders as we gather unto him to worship him. But he pours out his grace. And we'll finish looking at this grace, and next time we'll look at peace. As we saw last time, grace. All is by grace. Thus, there is no boasting. What we truly deserve from God is his eternal punishment of hell. But God pours out his eternal blessings. Yes, it is God's grace. Christianity is from the beginning to the end, and all the things in between is God's grace. And because it is God's grace, it is by faith. And because it is grace, it is not by works. Our God is God of grace. He is a gracious God. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6b, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Our God is gracious and he pours out his grace upon his people, upon you. We see God's grace even from the Old Testament. You know, some people say that Old Testament is all about angry God, and only when you come to New Testament, it's grace and love. But that's not what we see in the Bible. We find grace in the Old Testament as a promise and hope that will be fulfilled completely by the coming Messiah. And its principle is already clear even in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. It tells us why God chose Israel. It's not because they deserve it. It's not because they were better than all the other people in the world at that time. It says, the Lord did not set his love on you, Israel, nor choose you, because you are more in number than any of the people, for you were the fewest of all peoples. It's not because you're great that God has chosen Israel. Actually, it's the opposite. It's God's grace. Even God giving the promised land to them was by God's grace. It's not that they deserved to receive the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 4 to 5. Do not say in your heart when the Lord your God has driven them out before you, when they enter the promised land, the Lord will drive out those people who are living there. When that happens, don't say to your heart, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me into possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is dispossessing them before you. It is not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart that you are going to possess their land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you in order to confirm the oath which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God promised to give this land. Not because they deserve it. Not because of their righteousness. No, all they did is sin. And yet God gives them this land. It's God's grace. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. Through 12, then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. But you know the story. They forgot about God. And yet God continues to bless them. God's grace. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. Otherwise you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. When you collect all this wealth, don't say, it's my power and it's my ability. Remember, it's God who makes you to do this. It's God's grace. Don't you ever think, because I'm smart, I went to good college, and I was able to do this and that, and I'm better than that person, that you think you make a little bit more money or have a bigger house. Don't ever think that. It's God's grace. There's no boasting in Christianity, because you understand and you believe that it is God. Oh, God could have caused you to born in a poor family and never went to any school and just you work and you just die. God could have done that. When you think it is because you are special, because you are able? No. It's God's grace. Any situation you find yourself in, give thanks. Because it's God's grace. Because the place you truly deserve is hell. Any other place other than hell, you need to remember, it's God's grace. But people just don't know how to thank God. They really don't know the truth. They're full of themselves. That's why they do not acknowledge God's grace. It's only when they're so successful in this world, when every people in the world acknowledges you, then they might mention God's grace. No. Always God's grace. God pours out His grace upon His people and wants His people to love Him. Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 12, "Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." But the Israel betrays God. They betray God's grace. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 3 to 4, "And ox knows his owner, and donkey his master's manger. But Israel does not know, my people do not understand. Alas, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord, they have despised the Holy One of Israel, they have turned away from Him." Even from choosing Israel, it was all God's grace, and God just pours out His grace and grace. But people, they betray God's grace. They sin. They respond to God's grace by sinning more. Even animals know their master. But God's people don't know who the Master is. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6, "A son honors his father, a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name?" Even they betray God's grace and respond God's grace by sinning more, and at the end they say, how do we disrespect you, God? They're so sinful that they don't even know that they're sinning. They're so sinful that they're filled with sin, and yet they don't even know. This did not happen because God's grace is not effective. No. The true salvation is a spiritual salvation. The Messiah has to come and do everything that is required, and the Holy Spirit has to give new heart to that person. Otherwise, that this is what happens. That's why as a pastor I preach God's word, and there's two responses. One, actually receive God's grace, and they repent and they try their best to live that righteous life. On the other hand, actually gets worse. It's not that God's word is not effective, but whether you are truly receiving God's grace or not. That's why I pray. Not so much my sermon will be so perfect and so spectacular, but I pray that God will pour out His grace to you. And when He does, even just any person who preaches God's word, that who doesn't have, much education, or even that kind of person, long as he preaches the gospel, God's people will change. That's why we need to pray very hard, so that God will pour out his grace upon us, upon this church. Because it's not about trusting you or trusting me. Because if I just trust you to do good things and you trust me to teach the right things, and his trust is all about me and you, then we're going to fail. It's all about God's grace. And that's the bottom line. Some people do receive God's grace. The others don't. You must acknowledge God's grace in all things. See, even when Israel is like this, God continues to promise his grace. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 21 through 26, how the faithful city has become a harlot. She who was full of justice, righteousness once lodged in her, but now murderers. Your silvers have become dross, your drink diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe, chases after rewards. They do not defend the orphan, nor does the widow's plea come before them. Therefore the Lord God of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, declares, I will be relieved of my adversaries and avenge myself on my foes. I will also turn my hand against you and will smelt away your dross as with lye and will remove all your alloy. Then I will restore, see, after all that, he says, I will restore your judges as at the first and your counselors as at the beginning. After that, you will be called the city of righteousness, a faithful city. Look at what God is promising. Yes, you will be judged, but that's not the end of the story. God will renew. And how will he do this? Well, he will send his son, the Messiah, to fulfill all of God's promises. Jeremiah puts it like this, 31, verse 31 through 33. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God promises his grace. Ezekiel chapter 36, same thing, verse 24 through 28. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers, so you will be my people and I will be your God. He promises that when Messiah comes and when he accomplishes eternal salvation for his people, that's when God will give them new heart. God will put his spirit, Holy Spirit, in them, so that by the work of that Holy Spirit, My people will obey. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. Ultimately, if we are truly believers, we will obey God. It's not if Jesus completely, perfectly accomplished. That grace that God promising in the Old Testament, that perfect, effective grace that God promised, is now fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the revelation of God's perfect grace. John chapter 1 verse 17, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, Jesus' coming is the fulfillment of perfect grace of God. When you gaze on Jesus Christ, you are looking at the perfect grace of God. Titus chapter 2 verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Titus continues, chapter 2 verse 12 and 13, that grace, what does it do? Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the grace of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? If we are truly recipients of God's grace, what will that grace do when it reaches us? That it will instruct us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly. Not only we live like that, but we were also looking for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that grace will make you look to Christ and look to that day when Jesus will come again. See, only grace can make you do this. No one else, nothing else. But that grace is the Holy Spirit working with the Word in you. Brothers and sisters, you must desire grace. And check every day whether you did receive that grace. Because only that grace will make you the person that God has saved you to be. Does that mean that you don't even try hard to live this righteous life? Does that mean that you don't even have to obey because it's all by grace? No, it does not mean that. Just the fact that you're saying that, you show that you did not receive grace. Because grace will not let you alone. Grace will not make you continue to sin as if it doesn't mean anything. No, grace of God is effective. it will make us more like Christ, and it will make us like Christ when we see Him face to face. The grace of God accomplishes in us all the holy plans that God has for us, His people. And His plan for you is none other than that you will be like Christ. That grace of God is given to us in Jesus Christ. We are called by grace. Galatians chapter 1:6, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Jesus Christ, who called you by the grace of Christ. We have entered into His grace, Romans chapter 5, verse 2, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. We are not under the law anymore. We are under His grace. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And we live praising the glory of God's grace. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Do you see the glory of God's grace that has been given to you? Is it glorious to you? And our life is all about praising that glory of that grace, telling everybody how glorious that glory of that grace that God pours out to us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 10, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is very important. While yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, Jesus did not look at us and say, oh, they're so good, they're so lovable that I should die for them. That's not what happened. While you are still sinners, Jesus died for you. This is why when we hear like Jesus dying for us, this just doesn't make sense to us, because why would He die for a guy like me? I mean, you know, even in the world that there are some people who would die for someone else. Either their family, okay, that makes sense, you know, it's worth it. They're your family. Or some people might die for this great hero, a great person in the world. And they think, okay, you know, it's worth it. I'm dying for this great person. But nobody in this world will die for filthy sinner. The person who do not even deserve anything. So sinful that no one will miss. And yet Jesus died for that sinner. See, this is amazing grace. You must understand. I'm not worth His death. That's why I'm so astonished by this grace, that I do not deserve it. That's why it is my life telling people, teaching people about this grace. God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. While we're still His enemies, He reconciled us. It wasn't like we're seeking to be His friend. It wasn't like we're seeking to love Him. No, only thing we knew was to rebel against Him, sin against Him. We didn't even like Him. And yet, while we're His enemies, He reconciled us to Him. Again, amazing grace. And we saw how God called Israel. It wasn't because they deserve it, and our calling is the same as the Israel's calling. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29. It says, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that He may nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before God." Do you think you were hot shot? That's why God chose you? That somehow that He had to choose you because without you His plan cannot go on? Brothers and sisters, do you think God needs me to preach to you? I always say that He could even make the chair talk and preach the gospel to you if that's what He wanted. He doesn't need you, He doesn't need me. That you are nobody in this world. And if you don't want to admit that, then you're denying God's word. Because of your pride, it's so hard to admit that you were nothing in this world. Oh no, I was somebody, right? Or I will be somebody. God chose the base things, despised things, so that no one could boast before God. You must understand that if you understand grace, then you will not boast. You will not think that you're better than other people, or that you are smarter, or you are more able. See, you do that because you don't understand grace. But once you understand grace, once you understand the truth, you will never boast. Boasting is to deny that all is by God's grace. And don't help other people boast. Don't say like, "Oh, how able this person is." Don't say this kind of stuff. "Oh, how smart this person is. Oh, look at how good college he went to. Oh, this, oh, that." No. It's all by God's grace. And this is what Christians do. We accept what the Bible says. You are who you are right now because of God's grace. And I am who I am right now because of God's grace. Every Lord's Day, we are reminded of God's grace. At the beginning of worship, during the salutation, I say to you, or I should say to you, judgment and curse to you. And I wouldn't be wrong in that if there was no Christ in your life, because you sinned. Last 6 days, you have sinned. I have sinned. So shouldn't I say to you, judgment and curse to you because we all sin? But that is not what I say. And that is not what God is telling me to say. Because of Jesus Christ, I say to you, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Even as we begin our worship, you realize that God is treating you special. This is what God is doing. Even your sins and my sins do not negate His grace and peace for us. He never says that we have been so sinful, thus He will not pour out His grace and peace to you. No, He says, grace and peace to you. Faithfully, He says, grace and peace to you. Romans chapter 5, verse 20, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. This knowledge is not a license to sin more, but to live that holy life that God has given us in Jesus Christ. Now, our lives are all about praising the grace of God. Psalm 31, verse 19, how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. Psalm 63 verse 3, because of your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. We are the recipients of God's grace, this grace of God. Our lives are full of God's grace. John chapter 1 verse 16, for of His fullness we all have received, and grace upon grace. This grace of God will accomplish all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. But by God's grace, I am what I am. And His grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labor even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, Paul understands the truth. That everything that he is, he was, he says, is by the grace of God. I mean, he labored more than any other apostles, and yet he says, not I, but the grace of God with me. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, believe in grace of God. Believe and trust Him and be assured of His grace for you. And remember, Philippians chapter 1 verse 29, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in Him but also to suffer for His sake. Well, the larger context that says that God has poured out His grace. Why? So that you may not live for yourself, but that you will live for Christ. So that you may suffer for Christ. That is why God's grace is given to you. Are you gladly willing to suffer for Christ? Check it, whether grace has come upon you or not. There's nothing more honorable than suffering for Christ. To die for Christ. This whole concept of martyrdom has completely disappeared in Christendom. You don't hear that anymore. It used to be like that. People were willing to die for Christ. These young people, they were coming and say, I will die for Christ. But now it's all about, what could he give me? What could he do for me? Oh, I have this desire, but I'll ask Jesus to fulfill that for me. Or is it, I'll do everything for him? God's grace will change his people like this. And remember again, even when you suffer for Christ, remember what God says. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 through 10. My grace is sufficient for you. This is what Paul heard when he prayed. He had this thorn in his flesh. We think it is some illness that he has. And he doesn't specify, so we don't know what, but illness, painful illness. So he prays to God to get rid of that illness. And after three times, and this is important, he prayed for three times. And you might say to Paul, oh, because you are not sincere in your prayer, only three times? Why don't you pray like 100 times? Or 1,000 times? When it comes to getting some thing of this world that your evil heart wants, you will pray 10,000 times. But what if God already told you his answer in the Bible? Would you look at that answer and say, okay, this is what he wants, so I'm not going to pray. That is contrary to what he told me already. No, I gotta have it. So I pray and pray. You know, a lot of your prayer, answer to those prayers are already given in his word. He told you already in the Bible what pleases him. And there are Christians, even though he says, I'm not pleased with that, and they just continue to pray and pray and pray. Because it's never about glory of God. It's always about themselves. But we already saw that. Grace will make you now live for Jesus Christ. Remember again these words, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And he has said, God has said to me, Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast, he's going to boast, about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For I am, when I am weak, then I am strong. Look at what grace of God makes Paul do. Do you boast about your weaknesses, insults, distresses, persecutions, difficulties? Do you do that? We saw last week, how the cross is the victory. I pray to God really hard that all of you will understand the true gospel. And I pray to Him very hard because I know He's the only one who could make you understand and believe and trust. Brothers and sisters, our lives are not about success in this world. Our lives are about success in how much we will love Christ. So we are gladly joined in His suffering, participate in His suffering. And every time we do, we hear God's voice. My grace is sufficient for you. Soon as we hear it, and it's so amazing how Holy Spirit just all of a sudden cause you to remember that verse. And I hear it. Not audibly hear it. In my heart I hear it. My grace is sufficient for you. And everything is okay. Because I received His grace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this amazing grace that You pour out to us. We thank You for Jesus Christ, who is the perfect revelation of Your grace. We thank You that we are who we are because of Your grace. And this grace in us will make us more like Your Son, and it will make us like Your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, Father, no matter what happens in our lives in this world, let us always hear Your voice through Your word, that Your grace is sufficient for us. We love You. Receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.